February the 28th, 2019, in the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, from the United States of America. Thank you for coming to my website for the webcast today. My life is filled with seeking the truth, speaking the truth, being the truth. My life is filled with no deceit, no lying, because if it is, I can't be trusted as a human being. At that point in my life, life would be of no value at all. Who are you living for? Who am I living for? What is the value of one single life that speaks truth in such a way that most have never thought about it? If I'd never been born, my thoughts would have come through another person, unknown to me, but just as important as my own. That opinion needs to be heard. You've come to my site. What you hear may sound strange, but listen in the present if you can. Yesterday's truth is not necessarily today's friend if it has not been thoroughly thought through. You know, you've got to ask yourself some questions about me. Seriously, some serious questions. Some questions that can only be answered in the present. You can't think about me yesterday. You must think about me in the present today. What is it that makes me who I am today? Well, it's the truth for today that relegates how I'm to respond to that truth tomorrow. Many of our opinions derive from a sense of social subjectivism. Let me explain to you what I mean by that, by this social subjectivism. Okay, it's a basic idea of ethical subjectivism that our moral opinions are based upon our feelings and nothing more. In other words, one's opinion about something is nothing but a stance that one takes at the particular time that he takes it. And it may be relevant for the moment that they are using it, and they can use that. We're talking about listening in the present now, because, and I don't want to mention anybody's name, because, you see, that's offensive to people in this culture. People in this culture cannot stand the fact that you make something plain and bring it to the forefront of it all. If you're looking at the Mueller trial, or whomever that is on trial in Washington, D.C., standing before the board or the council or whatnot, you can see it in some of the clips that they have all over the internet. This kind of Harcourt just burst in the studio. Good morning. Oh. Wait, I gotta pause because he needs some food. I'll be right back. Don't let me lose that thought. I'll be right back with that thought. Basically, what I'm trying to say is that people find certain ideas attractive. And what they do is they push those particular ideas wherever they are. Some people retain confidence in the basic idea, refining it, giving it a new, improved kind of formula. People do that. They do that with these ideas. Now, let me give you how that idea works, okay? And let's use it like this. X is something. X is morally acceptable, okay? So since X is morally acceptable, then X is right. This is how you put it together. Then X is right. And then the other person comes. If it's truly simple subjectivism, then X is good. And then thirdly, of course, X ought to be done, or ought to be recognized, or ought to be attainable to the major part of society. What does that mean? It means that I approve of X. Now, this is called simple subjectivism. This is how people try to persuade you from being one thing into the other. Bring my cup of coffee. I left it in the kitchen, please. That's simple subjectivism. All right? Now, let's move it further. One may look at X, because that is the questionable item that we're looking at. X is morally unacceptable. Okay, this is another's opinion, because this is how opinions are wagered through simple subjectivism. That's why if you go to court and you're on the stand and you put your hand on a Bible or a Quran or whatever book and you have to swear to tell the truth, then similarly you can say X is morally unacceptable. Therefore, X is wrong. Therefore, X is bad. And therefore, X ought not to be done. What is that coming to? It's coming to the simple idea that this group disapproves of X. Let me close the door. Now, as we carry this idea further, we have to answer the question. Simple subjectivism implies that we're always right. And that can't make sense, because if you're making these statements based upon your particular feelings about a particular situation without substantive proof, something to stand upon. Now, what is ethically correct in a moral society? It is when you treat everyone, when everything that comes from your heart, from your mouth, from your head is equitable, when you are really putting forth an effort to depict what truth is, to live in a comfortable state of expressing that truth. But like I said, simple subjectivism contradicts the plain fact that none of us are infallible. Even your opinions that you may wager about certain things or certain people. Now, there's another stage of subjectivism, and it's emotivism. And this begins with language that observes that it is used in different ways. In other words, if I would say something like, if I had cancer, and I said, I beat cancer. I didn't beat cancer. If I have cancer and if I survive from cancer, I didn't beat it. It's that emotive language that everybody can get up and clap and cheer and hello this and hello that. Let me give you a good example. Whenever I go to the doctor and I get an exam and they give me an MRI and they're looking for cancer and something like that, and I said, okay, I beat the MRI machine. You didn't beat anything. It just meant that you never had that in you within the first place. You didn't beat it. That's emotive language. And a lot of people use that language all the time. But there's a difference between emotivism and simple subjectivism. See, simple subjectivism, when you're trying to make a point, should now be obvious because it interprets ethical sentences as statements of fact. Now let's bring it down to it, because see, I'm still dealing with the Jesse Smollett problem. See, you just can't say, well, just forget it and let it go. There was tremendous damage done by this young man. And I just want to point this out to you, that emotivism emphasizes that there is more than one way which people may disagree. And so that language is being used in a way to determine where that person is coming from. When we're always right in our moral judgments, this is when simple subjectivism is correct, or you determine that. When you're always right in your moral judgments, in this case about Jesse Smollett, he was wrong. It'll never be made right. Punishment should come his way, and for you to think any other way is abnormal. For you to think that. Simple subjectivism always interprets morals, judgments. Now, and that's what we're dealing with. Now, we have to come to this, I think, in our minds right now. Are there such things as moral facts? And if there is, there needs to be a connection between these moral judgments and the reasons to support them. Now, this is what an emotivist would say. The person that uses emotivist language would push that in. And you have to understand, the press uses this. The fake news and the real news uses this. A moral judgment is like a command in its primary a verbal means of trying to influence people's attitudes and conduct. You have to know that emotivists use this language to try to get you to go that way. And then they'll give you a cupcake and a cup of coffee to go along with it, and so that you can flow right into their emotivist tranquility. You must realize that. In my reading over the years, and I've read a lot of this, it says that a statement about any fact which any speaker considers likely to alter attitudes may be adduced as a reason for or against an ethical judgment. You need to know that. You need to play that back and re-listen and figure out, why is the person saying what they're saying? And why is what they're saying basically morally important or unimportant to me? See, this is what we have to realize. And let's come to this. I want to address this, because I can't leave this issue alone. I have to look at it. Are we listening? Are we listening in the correct way when we are attempting to get our point over? Are we listening correctly? Look, there are moral facts in the same way that there are facts about the planets in our solar system, the trees that are growing in the ground, and a spoon which is used to stir a cup of coffee. Our values are nothing more than the expressions of our subjective feelings about these things that we come in contact with. This is why people hate other groups and go to war with other groups and things like that. Where's your president today? He's in Vietnam meeting with the leader of the North Koreans, trying to make a business deal, trying to cut some money deals. What's wrong with that? They say moral truths are truths of reasons. Reasons. There are reasons for this moral truth. That is, a moral judgment is true if it is backed by better reasons than the alternatives given by some kind of subjective emotivist language. And most people that I know today use emotivist language to move their group along. Trump uses it when he tries to protect the racist population of this country. Gay people use it to justify what they want to put forth their agenda to make something happen in their lives. Straight people use it all the time when they try to justify their inhumane practices with people that are not straight. So the correct answer to a moral question is simply the answer that has the weight of reason on its side. The weight of reason. Reason is what we're aiming towards here. And the weight of that reason on the side of the person that is involved on that. We cannot make something good or bad simply by wishing it to be so. Jussie Smollett did something that was horrible. That makes him a horrible person. Let's stop trying to use this emotive, simple, subjective language to justify behavior that is ridiculous. I don't care if he's on TV or if he's not on TV. Is there something wrong with us? Have we lost our minds? Because we cannot will that the weight of reason be on your side or against that side. Truth is the thing that manifests itself in all points of the discussion. Now, I'm putting it this way. When a proof is demanded, people often have a mind or have in their minds, I should say, an inappropriate standard. In other words, we demand the truth here. So you're demanding the truth, which is an appropriate standard over an inappropriate standard. Think with me. Think with me. Take your mind out of that. You got to get out of this thing of thinking the way media and people tell you to think. Now, if you're spiritual and if you're connected with the heavenlies, then God help you to do that, to come to it. But I'm telling you, if you're going to do this thing right, you're going to have to do it right straight across the board. This is why I say that. So many people are always calling on God to help them in there. God is not going to help you with your foolish jackass mentality where you're trying to justify something that is unjustifiable. God's not going to do that. I don't know what God you're calling on. It's surely not Elohim, Yahweh, Jehovah. No, it is not. And most of you just want to find happiness in every situation. Oh, come on, let's make Jesse happy. Why? You want to make sure that his life is going well? What is well? What is the standard of happiness? One has said that true happiness causes pleasure. You know what that is? If true happiness causes pleasure, what is that? That's hedonism. It's hedonism. Is that what we want? Also, we live in a day and age where people would take these questions that I'm throwing out there at you and adding some kind of coordination to it. A life of happiness would be a life that is contained with the balance of favorable balance of pleasure over pain. See, now, I believe that. A true life of happiness is that if I get a cavity in my mouth, in my tooth, that it's going to hurt. And I'm glad that it's hurting because that's a way that that is showing me that I am experiencing some true pain in my life. Very important. Very important. Let me say this. And I want to make this perfectly clear. If you are not thinking on your own, you are going to think with someone else's mind. And that someone else's mind and opinion is going to drag you through the mire of public opinion, and you will never be able to come to the point of coming to an opinion about a thing on your own. Now let's deal with this, and then I want to deal with one more thing, and then I'm going to let you go today, because, you know, I'm thinking about why are these people still trying to defend Jesse Smollett? Why? They're using emotive language, simple subjectivism. It's stupidity, really, to defend this kind of behavior. And if it were my behavior, if someone came to my door last night to visit me, and I did not unlock my door to let the person in because I told the person not to come by my house before they call. There's a reason that I don't want the person in my home on my property. And they asked me, and I knew because they were being dropped off. And I saw the vehicle that was dropping them off. It would have been foolish for me to say, yes, come in, because the ride would have pulled off, and then I would have been trapped with the person that I didn't want to see and I didn't need on my premises. There's a reason for that. Now, why is that? Because I follow what one might call a divine command theory. Don't bring trouble on your porch and in your house unless that trouble is well defined and you can well define it and consequently go on and survive it. So this conception of morality is mysterious if it falls under the divine command theory. God told me to. In other words, this conception makes God's commands arbitrary, because you can make God approve of or disapprove of anything you say. So this conception of morality provides the wrong reasons for moral principles. People use these things all the time. And then they come up with this thing that Hamlet came out with. Nothing is good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Yes, sure. Right. Let's see. You can't do God this way. And I think that once we come to realize that, then we become totally honest with ourselves and we're operating in a world of honesty, our mind, our conscience, our words. I'd like to add this also to the equation, and I think it's an important one. How do we come to know what is in the first place? Well, I believe that in order to understand anything, four questions have to be asked. What is it? What is it made for? How did it come to exist? And what is it for? Now, you're a rational human being. You've got to ask these kinds of questions. That's what one may call in ethics natural law. Okay? Because when you're talking about natural law and you're asking what it is, well, you have thoughts about these things, thoughts about reality, thoughts about how things come together. Things don't come together. There's no magic secret thing. That's why I have a problem with these dreamers, because the dreamers are always talking about something is going to come into reality out of nowhere. And I think that you have to reject that because you have to look at the way things have always been from time unto the end of time. And so all this, well, it's just going to take place and it's going to, take place right in front of me and blow my mind like that. No, uh-uh. No, 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 no. I want to also say this, and I think that it has a lot to do with one's ego. The achievement of your own happiness is man's highest moral purpose. We know that. We know that. It's about being happy. But everybody is not going to be happy because everybody is not supposed to be happy. Life is hard work, discipline, doing the right things over and over and over again. And once you show that you know how to do those things over and over again, then it speaks for itself. I hope you get what I'm trying to say. Stop listening to other people that are giving you emotive statements about something which has not weighed the statement on its worth value. Because if not, you're going to keep making the same mistakes and keep getting tripped up by people or things that are not working towards your own benefit. And you can see through everything if you just take the time to look at it close enough. I guess that's all I have to say. There's more that I could say about that, but that's enough for right now. I want you to feel what I'm saying and to know that the reason that I'm saying is because you need to pay attention to it. Listen to people in real time where they are. Figure it out what they're saying in real time. If it's BS, treat it like that. If it's worth listening to, pay it some attention. Thanks for coming to my website.